Given we're back here in person here for the first time this morning, we just thought it'd be nice to touch that here and offer a few questions. Morning.
Hey, good morning. How's everyone today?
Beautiful snow, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's weather's beautiful. Though I just felt, I was just talking with Chris and probably at the quarter mark, it was a good idea that I addressed how the team is doing, where we are. Answer any questions that anyone has. So obviously, winning 5 games out of 21 is not exactly where we want it to be. It's not what we foresaw, especially after the way we finished last year. To me, the biggest thing is we got to get this team back on its winning ways. We have made a few drastic decisions. But we feel this team is going to get back to playing to the hockey that it's capable of playing.
Encouraged with your own words here following the victory against Carolina the other night, Pierre?
Very encouraged. It's not just Carolina. I think we had a tough traveling schedule. I'll be honest, it was probably, there were 2 games that I tried to change when the schedule came out, and that was the one of the two. And the way our players battled, played hard, showed me that whatever type of adversity we face, we have the team and the players to win.
You didn't foresee the record at this point, but I'm guessing at the start of the season, you didn't foresee losing 2 centermen, 10 players to COVID.
Yeah, I think the way our team is built and the way we finished last year, like if you look last year, when we went on a streak of 9-2-1, out of those 12 games, our 4 centermen were Norris, White, Pinto, Tierney. In the last game, White had a little slight injury, and Tierney didn't play, and we put Logan Brown and Nisimov in there. And then this year, if you look at the 3 games that they played, those 4 guys who were 2-1, it's a very short sample size. But I think the way our team is built, and we're not the deepest team at center, you know, we've asked Nick Paul, who didn't play center in the NHL ever, to go play center. You ask Logan Shaw, who I personally think is a better winger, even though he's pretty good on draws. We've made the additions of, obviously, Gambrell earlier in the year, but he got COVID. We just made the addition of Adam Gaudet, who I think has to get back to playing shape. Not that he's not in shape, but just playing conditioning-wise. So to us, you know, those were devastating losses for the Ottawa Senators. Having those 2 guys not be part of our lineup, and they won't be part of the lineup. Shane Pinto had surgery the day before U.S. Thanksgiving, last Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. There's a chance he plays before the end of the year. We're going to do what's right. There's no doubt we're going to make sure that if he plays, it's a 4 to 6 months injury, but it can vary. It can vary how the body's healing, the strength in the shoulder, the range of motion. Colin White, we predict in March at some time, and again, we'll be on the same lane. And just talking about injuries, so before I forget, Eric Brännström should be back. I think he'll start practicing with the team around Christmas time. Be back early January, I presume. Could be late December, early January, and Josh Brown will be sometime in January also. But for us, the way our team is built, and I don't want to repeat this, losing those 2 guys was monumental to us. And when we projected our team, you know, sometimes you can project losing 1 guy for 10 games, but at the same time, when you project losing both guys for, you know, a majority of the year, we're going to, you know, suffer. I know at the same time, you know, you can go out and make trades where you sacrifice important pieces of your future for immediate help, but I don't think that was part of the plan. It's not something that, you know, we can look at doing. I'm not going to lie to anyone here. I've had a few sleepless nights. I've not enjoyed this stretch of our team, but it's not by lack of effort. The players are playing hard, but sometimes players don't play up to their potential, and they know it too. And, you know, the buck stops with me, and I'm not afraid to say that, you know, we didn't anticipate this, but we're going to battle through this. Last year we had a tough stretch. We battled through it, finished strong. And I still think there's 60 games of hockey left. I know the work ethic is there. I know the will to win is there. And we're going to continue on that path.
Do
No, please go ahead.
Just revisiting something you said, you know, you felt the rebuild was over.
Yeah.
Do you reevaluate that statement at this point?
No, you know what? Sometimes the excitement of a season gets into you, and Claire, it's a very good question. And probably what I should have said is pretty much all the core pieces of the rebuild are in the organization right now. And, you know, if you look at guys that, you know, that just got named to the World Junior in Sanderson, Clevin, Ridley Gregg, I think Yarventi and Marilainen are also on the preliminary roster. They're pretty big pieces, I think, in our future success. And obviously didn't foresee us just winning five games after 21 games. But probably probably how I should have phrased it, and that's on me, no one else, is that most of the core pieces, I feel, we might be one piece away, are in the organization at this point in time.
Was part of that also that the days of guys going out the door is over too?
Like? Yeah, like we don't need to trade pending UFAs for picks. We've got a lot of picks in this upcoming draft. But really the biggest thing was probably my thought process when I was saying that is that all the pieces that I feel can build a championship team are in the organization for maybe except one.
Just on, do the answers have to come from within to get out of this? Because you're talking about not trading core pieces.
Yeah, for us, there's no doubt that, you know, I'm not going to name players, but a lot of the players on this team have underperformed this year to the level that they performed to, especially in the second half of last year. We're not just, you know, or if you look at their whole season last year. So the players have to step up. I think coaching staff have to step up. The general manager and the management group have to step up. We all have to be better. But I still think there's a lot of hockey to be left. I've never questioned the players' work ethic, never coaches the coach work ethic. We got to get out of this together.
With all of that said, and the depth situation that you just described, Pierre, are you actively looking to make some sort of move to improve the scenario?
And Gord, it's a good question. We're always looking. You know, anyone that knows me and knows that I'm not afraid to pick up the phone and to make a trade, I don't think it really brings anything here. To make a trade to give up like a big future piece for immediate success, I don't think that does it, especially if that player is not going to be here for the long term. I think you have to look at everything, I think, in the whole picture. And, you know, if something we do helps us, you know, we do have a lot of prospects, we do have a lot of picks. If we feel that we can get an asset that's going to help us in this year, next year, and the following year, then we have to look at it. But just to make a trade to make a pending UFA, I don't, right at this point in time, there's no benefit to that. I think the players in that room have to know that they have to play better. They have to perform. They have to find a way to win games. Obviously, we're not going to score as much as a lot of other teams, but we have to check well. We have to play hard defensively. We have to let the goalie see the shot, and I think that's the way we're going to have success.
Can you address the group? I know you don't particularly like doing that.
No. You know what? So we're clear. I addressed the group before we went to our first trip, but more about, you know, guys, be careful. We're going to the U.S. I know a lot of places don't have, you know, the mask mandate. You know, please wear your mask when you're going to restaurants. Try to eat away from people, all these things. I was in the room when we announced Brady was captain. And the third time I've been in the room, which is probably the most I've been in a room in a year, was I talked to the team after we changed our protocols when we were going to Boston. We had to stay in and go to the protocols of last year for an extended period of time. So just explain to the guys, at that point in time, I was with Dr. Obrey, and both of us talked. But you know what? We have a very good coach. I personally feel when a GM goes in the room, it undermines the coach, and I'll never do that. Unless he wants me to, like if we do it together, you know, which in the past, not that I'm going to talk about it, but Guy Boucher did ask me at one point in time to go and speak to the players. But with DJ, I don't feel I need to do that.
Are you getting, you make a lot of calls, but are you getting a lot of calls from your friends around the league?
I've got a few friends that, how could I say it? I've got a few friends that, that I think are trying to, when you're down sometimes and out, that they're just trying to help you. So they're not really trying to help. Before I forget, I haven't had a chance to speak in a while. Dion Phaneuf retired, and he was a big part of our organization when we went on that cup run. And I want to just congratulate him on his hockey career on behalf of the Ottawa Senators, on his leadership that he brought in our, you know, in our cup run, being one goal away, going to game seven in overtime where we could have gone to the finals. He was a big part of that. He was a big part in our dressing room. I think for what he brought, he should be congratulated for his great hockey career.
When you assess the goaltending situation right now, are you concerned about what has happened at the NHL level this year? And then what about the young guys as well? Do you have, are you seeing positive results with the guys who are supposed to be coming up soon?
Well, obviously, I'll address the, obviously at the NHL level, I think all three guys can be better. But it's a team game, and at the same time, sometimes they have to see the shots. The other teams can't get two or three chances. And when it comes to the minors, Sogard had a tough start, but he's been sensational. And Mandelez has been outstanding. I think Gus here over the last 2 years has been arguably has given us the best performance. If we look at stats, play, the chances we give up. Marilainen got his first shutout last night for Kingston, 5-0. I think he's going to be the main guy for Finland at the World Junior. So we have a lot of quality. If more than anything, what we just need from our goalies is make the save at the right time. We got that from Anton the other day. I know we gave up 49 shots, but when you look at the A and B chances, I think we had 1 A against Carolina and 7 Bs, and I think we had 5 As and 2. That's sports logic. That's not me. That's not fudging the numbers. That's just the numbers. So I think if we give up less A and B chances than the other team, we have a chance to win. And that's a team thing.
Speaking of goaltending, just on Matt Murray, yeah. What was the thinking
I'm just going to go through all the details. So obviously, after the San Jose game, I talked to DJ. I said, who are your two goalies for the next two games? And he said, I'm going to go with Gus and Forsberg. I said, okay. I said, let's just think. I want to bring something up to you. I talked to Zach on the plane coming back from San Jose, Zach Burke. Thursday, obviously, we had a practice in Anaheim. I think DJ told Matt at that point in time that he was going to be a healthy scratch against Anaheim. Then I talked with my group, my management group. Then I talked with the coaching staff. And we discussed, Matt Murray finding his game. So after the game, DJ, myself, spoke to him, and it wasn't like you're going to Belleville, you're going to be put on waivers. It was, I would probably say, a 4 to 5 minute conversation with explanation of why. And we said, if someone picks you up, well, good luck. If not, you're going to be assigned to Belleville. Once we landed, I wanted Zach to talk to him. That's the first person, the goalie coach. After that, once Zach talked to him, I wanted DJ to talk to him. And then I know I phoned Troy Mann Tuesday morning at about 9:30 to let him know, make sure like Matt doesn't play Wednesday against Utica. Utica is probably the best team in the AHL. And Matt, it was not that they were the best team in the AHL, but Matt hadn't been on the ice a lot and over the past days. He'd practiced on Monday. So I called Matt's agent Tuesday around, in the morning. Said he wanted to talk to him. Said I wanted him on the call when I talked to Matt. And yesterday, explained to Matt what the plan was. I'm not going to really divulge it. But I did explain to him that, we still have faith in Matt Murray. He's just got to find his game, not be under the NHL microscope. And at some point in time, he'll be back with Ottawa.
Pierre, results aside for a second, are you still excited by the progression of the players? Like Drake Batherson leads the team in scoring, Norris in goals, Lassie Thompson obviously has made a good impression in his NHL debut this year, and some of the other guys.
No, we're not going to sugarcoat it. Drake's been our best player this year, hands down. No doubt about that. I'll challenge anyone to say that he's been one of the better right wingers in the league this year. Obviously, Josh has had some ups and downs, started strong. We don't know what's going on in an athlete's head. And if anyone doesn't have a heart, I didn't know about Josh's affiliation with the high school in Michigan until I saw the interview later on that afternoon. And if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, because hockey's a game, but what's more, life is way more important. Like, you think about those kids that died that don't get a chance to live their life. It's way more important than any hockey game. So, you know, obviously, I really like the way that Josh bounced back. You know, maybe Vancouver wasn't his greatest game, but he worked, and how he bounced back against Carolina, and we're happy with his progression. And lastly, you know, coming up, he showed some really good things, and at times he can be a bit overwhelming, and defense is not easy to step in the NHL, but we know we got a really good top four defenseman moving forward. And his progression, I think, from last half of the season last year, I remember bringing DJ to one of the last Belleville games last year, and DJ goes to me and goes, Sogard and Lassie Thompson, those are the two guys I want for finish the year. I said, no, it's not going to work like that, DJ. You know, so we know we got something special with those two guys. But and on Lassie, we're happy with his progression, how he's coming along.
Pierre, sorry, if we can circle back to Matt Murray just one more time.
I think I answered that, but.
Okay, I'm just.
I think I was pretty clear on that one, too. Sure. Okay, but you can ask. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, just. You talk about you're confident in the young goalies coming up.
Mm-hmm.
In the time being, though, when they're not, you know, ready for the NHL, how much concern is it that your piece that, you know, you've given a lot of money to and a lot of years to is not working out? Do you need that piece to work out for you to win in the next 2 or 3 years?
I think we need many pieces to work out for us to win in many years. And, yeah. Last year, Matt started, I think he was below average to start off the season, if I can be correct. Once we made the goaltending change, even though he was hurt part of the way, in a short sample size, he had outstanding numbers. We were really confident through camp. Then he's battled a few injuries, and sometimes it just takes time for your rhythm and everything. Do we still have confidence in him? Yes, we do. We're not going to bring in a younger goalie and expose him and ruin his development at this point in time. When the team is not playing as well as it could. So I don't know if I'm answering your question. I do want to answer your question. And I want to be fair towards Matt. And, you know, the conversation in Anaheim was not an easy one, not the one that I enjoyed doing, but I felt as a general manager of the team it needed to be done. And the conversation yesterday was a more pleasant one. We're explaining to him, you know, we got to find your game. And, you know, I think he knows he has to be better. And at a certain point in time, he'll be back in Ottawa. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I got lots of time, Bruce.
If there was one area you would like to address, just from what you said to Gord about center position, would that be where you'd be looking right now? Or?
Well, you know, at the start of the year, we lost, you know, our second, third, and I would say our fifth center. And so it's not like I haven't been trying. And maybe you could go get a center, and the piece you have to give, it's not worth it. You know, it's just, you got to balance things out. Is it worth it to give a piece that, you know, let's say we go get someone that we feel is a number three center, and we give a piece that a guy that could be top four defenseman in 2 years from now. You know, it's not worth it to do that at that point in time. I think you got to gauge things, and as I said previously, make a trade to make a trade. I don't think it solves any problems. You know, and it's not that we haven't thought about any possible solutions. You know, and I've said it. I've had probably the most sleepless nights of my life, just with this team going through like this. You know, my girlfriend/wife said she's never seen me toss and turn in so many white nights. She sees it because I keep her up just by tossing and turning. So it's not fun for anyone here, but we're not going to complain about it, the situation. We're just going to try and be better as a group.
Didn't anticipate any of this, you know, with the injuries and the COVID, but reflecting on things, is there anything you would have tried to maybe do differently when you look back?
Yeah, I've thought about that one a lot, Claire. I got to be honest. Like, I thought, like, what could you have done differently? And, you know, you say to yourself, okay, instead of putting money there, do you put money towards the center? But we tried to do that, and, you know, it just, the fit wasn't right for the term wasn't right in the summer. But at the same time, you just say, you got to move on. You know, like, a lot of these players want a chance, and I think we're the team that's used the most players. If I'm off on that number, I apologize. I know at a certain point in time we were the team that used the most players, and guys got their chance. And we saw some guys are simply not ready. As much as there's hype, and I have friends, I'm not on Twitter a lot, so I'm not going to, I have friends that tell me, oh yeah, this guy in Belleville, you got to give him a chance. And he comes up and you see he's not ready. It's just a process, you know, and we don't want to burn prospects. And of course, is there no one's perfect, Claire. But in this day and age, I think you always got to evaluate what you did in the past so you don't make that mistake in the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.